What's going on, everybody? Daryl Frater, the club CEO here, and we have another amazing episode of the My DJ Story podcast brought to you by the Club App, the number one community for DJs to build your career online. And we have today DJ Shuttle. My brother, please introduce yourself to the people, who you are and where you're from.
Oh, man, I'm from a little small town called Uniondale, Long Island, aka Strong Island. Exit 21, home of some of the greats you might know, like Public Enemy, Leaders of the New School, you know, some of my mentors and personal people that I've worked with. I'm originally from the South Bronx before I moved out here, though, and that's actually where I got my introduction to hip-hop. So, to me, that's important to my story, but my roots is in Strong Island, you heard?
Awesome, brother. We're super excited to have you on the My DJ Story podcast, man. You know, we want to hear your story about why you got into DJ, how you got started, and tell us a little bit about the intro. So, you know, what sparked your interest and made you want to become a DJ?
The block parties in the Bronx, you know, I know you see the baby face. I look real young, but you know what I mean? I was around for those block parties in the Bronx before Ralph McDaniels, before Run DMC and hip hop on MTV. Like, my introduction was hip hop on the block, in the streets, block parties, banging sound systems, food, people excited. And, you know, and this is when the South Bronx was like a tough place where you definitely didn't really want to be. But the culture of hip hop was just something that was like, yo, you hear it from the apartment and through the window. And it's like, man, I got to go downstairs and I got to be part of that. You know what I'm saying? And like, just like that movie Brown Sugar, very, very much that was my introduction to it. And what intrigued me to just music, period. And I had an aunt that was like, you know, you got the cool aunt. You always get that cool aunt or the cool uncle. I had that one cool aunt that collected all of the records. We're talking about a time period where you had to collect vinyl records. You know, tapes were still kind of new, and it was really all about vinyls. CDs, we're not even talking about CDs yet. So, you know, I used to just check out the record covers, and like by the age of 7, I'm starting to play these records, look at the covers, decide which record cover was the coolest, and then I would start playing records based on that. You know what I mean? And that's kind of my introduction, like 7 years old, putting records on record players. And yeah, man, like just the excitement for the street, though. That's what really, 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 truly intrigued me, seeing how people got excited. It was a good time. And, you know, when the block app blocked off, you knew it was about to go down.
Wow, man. No, that's super excited, man. You had your cool aunt that kind of showed you her record collection and were able to kind of put you on game to the DJ industry.
And when she left, I started digging through stuff when she ain't around. You know that's what really happened.
Dope, man. And then you got inspired. You saw these dope block parties and you wanted a piece of the action, man. So tell me a little bit about, you know, where you went from there and how you got started to doing these events and parties and such like that.
Man, your story is going to be so wild. I got to give you a couple of layers and peel the onion back. So I moved to Long Island. So I kind of lose some of the disconnect. I have, you know, lose some of that, the street element of getting music, you know, through these block parties. But, you know, I get to find eventually Mr. Magic comes to BLS and, you know, Red Alert, Chuck Chill Out come to Kiss. And, you know, and then there's the college radio stations. And then there's the Awesome Two, Teddy Ted, you know, like, and so these radio stations became now the block parties on the radio for me, because, you know, it was an extension of what I was hearing before. And like, yo, you only get hear hip hop in these little increments of time, you know what I mean? And yo, I lived and died for those moments. And that was the beginning of my mixtape career, because, yo, once I got that double deck cassette tape, I could record. Boom, let it run. I'm going back and forth to the stations when they play at the same time. You'll record the best parts when they're not talking. And then I get that blank cassette, get the best parts, put it in the best flow. Then you take it to school with the headphones on and you see you battling now to see who got the best tape. And, you know, we talking middle school for me. And, you know, it was like, yo, the battle for the best tape, and your tapes are just your tapes off the radio. So, you know, that's like the core essence of learning record selection and, you know, putting records in the right order and then, you know, bringing it to school and letting people hear it, man. It was a vibe.
Oh, that's awesome, man. That's super exciting. And just the way that you speak about it with so much passion, I know that's something that you love deep in your heart. So I love
feels,
to see when
it feels DJs. Like, yeah, for me, when I'm talking about it, it's like the shit was just happening last week. You know what I'm saying? And trust me, it was more than a week ago.
Yeah, man. No, that's awesome, man. And that passion leads you very far to be successful in your career. So I definitely want to hear, you know, talk to me more about where it went from there and peel back that onion like you were saying and tell me about some of the wild things.
So I always got to give props. You know, like when you become, when you're an entertainer or whatever, especially in the rap game, DJ game, like there's always one of your homies in the hood that was like there from the beginning. So I like to always give this guy his props, man. His name is Yada. We call him Yada Love. He was the first guy on the block that got the record players and the mixer. And he's a couple years younger than me, but I mean, he got his set the year Dougie Fresh and the Show came out. I remember it because he had the record player, the mixer, this one record. You know what I'm saying? It was Dougie Fresh, the Show. And yo, once he had that, man, yo, that was the beginning of like, yo, this music shit, for real, you know? And man, by a couple years later, yo, we getting more into mixing. By this point, I started rapping too. So it's like, I mean, back then, you know, for somebody like myself, especially from the Bronx, man, like you learn how to break dance, you learn graffiti, you know what I'm saying? And you learn to break dance, rap, graffiti, DJ, you learn everything, you know what I'm saying? And so by this point, I'm picking up the pen and I'm learning how to DJ at the same time. You know what I'm saying? Eventually, I would put the DJ to the side. I became part of a group that was called the Cracker Jacks. We were mentored by Dinko D from Leaders of the New School. Anybody on the listen that don't know who Dinko D or Leaders of the New School is, this is Busta Rhymes' original group, famously known for What's the Scenario and you know, and shit like that. So they Dinko became a mentor to mine. And now by my senior year in high school, when his situation is about to take off, now he's taking me and my group to the radio station, the college radio, 88.7 RHU, with a legendary DJ by the name of DJ Johnny Juice. And you know, this is where all of the artists from the boroughs and Jersey too would come, you know, where they weren't getting spins on the big stations yet, they were coming to this station. So, you know, now we're starting to see, you know, hip hop artists that are coming through and, you know, and it now I'm like, I'm not even DJing, I'm just rapping at this point. So, you know, still a great time in the game.
That's awesome, man. Super amazing. And I can tell that you probably learned a lot through that experience. Tell me some of the things that you learned, you know, in this journey and some of the things that can help other DJs that are currently early in their journey. So what's some of the things that you learned that, you know, could help them in their journey?
Well, the one and most important thing that I learned was that mentorship and the value of it, because, you know, without telling the whole entire story, Leads of the New School were a group that didn't have that name first. They came under the tutelage of Public Enemy, which gave them that name and mentored them and took them on the road before they got their deal, and then even after they had their deal, to kind of help get them ready to, you know, become players in this game. And you know, I ended up recording at that same studio and having the same mentorship, which is why, you know, whether it's DJing or being an artist, I think that mentorship is key, especially now, you know, you got the tools and the resources to do so much stuff yourself, but that doesn't mean that you got all the answers, even though you can get some information. It's nothing like, you know, that real life wisdom that people have lived before you that can, you know, help you from being burnt and going down the wrong roads.
Definitely, man. And some of the things that people like are struggling with is, you know, getting those early opportunities. You know, what are some things that people can do or some of the things that you did to get early opportunities to DJ at gigs and parties and events?
All right. So I'm gonna put a pin in that for 1 second. So I'm rapping. I'm with the Leaza New School crew, New School Society. I ended up deciding, you know what? I'm gonna go to college. I go to college, kind of like, you know, the rap thing, whatever. I'm going to college, mass media. I'm looking to do the same type of things that you're doing right now. Go to radio, do interviews because I love radio that much. I get there. After a few months, I see my guys on TV. Oh, wow, I can't believe it. You know what I'm saying? Yo, I got to pick up a pen again. So I start writing. Long story short, I go back home after a couple of years. I get with my guy, one of my guys back home. We start a group called The Matrix. We end up getting signed to Tommy Boy. So I get signed to Tommy Boy as a rap artist in 1998. I go on the Lyricist Lounge Tour with my group. We're performing with Black Star, Mos Def, Talib Kweli. We're performing with De La Soul, with Eve, with Eminem, Royce da 5'9". You know, it's an incredible, you know, tour for upcoming new artists at this time. This is before Eminem has blown up. And so long story short, we got out of that deal. And, you know, I'm trying to pursue the game. But back then, you know, you can only be so old and be a rapper. So I said, you know what? Maybe I could pick up this rap thing still, but I'm going to go back to my love, which was the music, and try this DJing thing. So 2001, I decided to, you know, to say, all right, I'm going to go full speed with it. And, you know, I just basically used my relationships with people. And, you know, even when I wasn't like the skill level that I needed to be, my relationship skills and being able to network and connect with people and follow up and be about my business was the things that gave me opportunities. Sometimes I wasn't even really needing to be there because my skill level wasn't, you know, on par with some of those opportunities that I got. But that's not an issue no more though. But but the networking, the professionalism, the punctuality, you see this interview, you know what I'm saying? I'm here 10 minutes early waiting for you. You know what I mean? Not that you was late, but, you know, that punctuality is something that I feel like is the type of thing that, you know, you don't lose. And, you know, you treat people's business like you care. And you know, you give 120%. And that's what I did. And that eventually led to more and more opportunities.
Definitely, man. I think that's a good point you brought in. And it shows that in regards to being a DJ, you can have the most skill in the world. But if you don't know that business aspect of your craft and your business, you'll have a hard time making it in something that's going to be a sustaining income for you. So you got to have that skill as a DJ that you can build over time, but you got to figure out the business practices that make you a good DJ in the totality of that career. So I really appreciate you really dropping gems on that, because some of the people out there, they need to learn that. They need to learn that it's not just about how well you can mix or scratch, but how can you network and navigate the system to be able to get those opportunities and build your business.
Yeah, fortunately, you know, I had a little education and I cared, and I had a, you know, West Indian grandfather that made sure you learn how to speak properly and how you handle your business, you know. I mean, and you know, he taught me, and it wasn't even a thing about DJing or music business. It was just how you treat people, how you respect people, how you follow up, and you know, and those type of things, you know. So and then eventually I had a few, you know, back to the mentorship. So now I'm kind of new to the DJing thing in terms of like really trying to, you know, make it pop off. So now I got to get some DJ mentors, guys that have been doing it for a while and guys that can show me the ropes. Make sure I got the right equipment. You know what I'm saying? Make sure that I know how to set it up so the sound sounds properly. You know, how to do some of the business with people, with contracts and insurance and, you know, websites, search engine optimization to make sure my name was out there. So all of these things I was able to benefit from through proper mentorship. And I'm just a firm believer that, yo, I don't care what business you're doing. If you don't have a mentor in that field, you need to be looking for one.
That's great advice, man. And mentors really show you the way, so you don't have to go through the mistakes and learn on your own, because they've been through it. They've made the mistakes. They learned from their trial and error. But guess what? If you have a mentor, you don't have to go through that. And you really, you get to go further and faster. So it's super important for people to look into mentorship, because it's a way to win in this industry and business. So definitely appreciate you dropping them gems, you know, because this is what people need to hear. And even if you can't find a mentor in physical space in next to you, near you, you can find mentors just by listening to podcasts, listening to people online and mentoring people, mentoring you with the knowledge that they put out on the internet for free. So it's like, there's so many ways to gain mentorship, and you're definitely making a big splash, and that just by mentoring people through this podcast and this content is helping people that are trying to make it in the industry. So I really appreciate you dropping gems. I want to hear a little bit about your take on the current climate of the DJ industry. I hear a lot of different things about, you know, people and the climate of like people supporting people, people not supporting people. You know, what are your thoughts right now about how DJs are interacting with one another in the industry? Is it competition? Is it union and unity and working together? How do you see it?
I think, you know, you asked a couple of questions there, but I think the answer to a few of those questions is actually the same, which is that two things can actually be true at the same time. And I think that it's great. It's, you know, DJing is in a great space. There is a lot of unity, but there is also a lot of, a lot of BS. You know, there is a lot of networking, and there's a lot of people that don't network. So, you know, there's levels to it though. You know what I mean? And that's what I tell people, is like, you gotta respect your level. You gotta be honest to where you are and what you've done and what you're doing to get to the next level. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like, yeah, I've been doing my thing, but you know, maybe I'm not on Kid Capri's radar. You know what I mean? And to act like if Kid Capri, you know, is not acknowledging me that I got a problem, then maybe I'm thinking a little too much of myself. And that's the only drawback that I kind of got. But that's not specific to DJing. That's just kids everywhere, younger. That's rappers. It's everything. It's like everybody just has a little bit more of an entitled mentality than the one that, you know, I kind of experienced as a young kid growing up, is that you really had to, you know, you had to work hard to get a dollar. You know, people wasn't just, you know, was, you know, you had to work hard to get whatever praise you got. You know, people made sure that your head didn't get too big and you couldn't walk through the door. And now with social media, where people don't have to validate you, now without record labels that don't have to co-sign a performer, you know, now people could just get on. I can get on your podcast right now and say, listen, I'm the hottest DJ in New York. Ain't nobody touching me. I can get on this podcast and I can talk crazy like that. And, you know, and I could do it on my Instagram, my Facebook and Twitter. And I could do all of that. And it's so uncontrollable that, you know, you get people to starting to believe things that aren't true. And then you end up booking somebody that can't DJ worth the lick, and you booked them for this rate based on him being the greatest. And then now you got to double back and you got to book DJ Shuttle, and you don't want to pay me what I'm worth because of the last experience with DJ Big Mouth. And, you know, so it makes it tough at a past period where you had to, like, I have a DJ mentor currently. Her name is Lady D. Wells. She used to be on KISS. She's now on BLS. You understand what I'm saying? And when she co-signs me, they say, word, you rocking with Lady D. Wells? She co-signed you? You must be good, and you must be good people, because she don't play no games, and she's a great DJ. You understand what I'm saying? So now it's like the reputation of the mentor and the person that I'm connected to speaks for me more than I can even speak for myself. And it makes it smoother. Now all I got to do is just do what I do, and I don't have to talk as much. So, you know, it's just a different day, and I respect it. And, you know, but, you know, I'm just going to keep the best of what is from the era that I was raised through and keep that in place for myself.
Yeah, man, that's great advice. And one thing you spoke about is being humble and having humility, because you can't build relationships with people if you're not humble. DJ Big Mouth is not, hopefully there's not a DJ Big Mouth out there, but DJ Big Mouth, quote unquote, you know, is not going to make it far because this, you know, you don't know how to build relationships because you're too big into yourself. So if you have humility and are able to build meaningful relationships with people that have great brands and great opportunities, you know, within their network, that's how you make it. And having that mindset really puts you far. So DJs out there, if you're just getting started or if you're in the game and trying to level up, think about how humble are you, and how can you be humble and make relationships with other people in the industry, man? This is great, brother. I'm really enjoying the story that you're telling. I would love to hear, you know, speed us up to the present, some of the things that you're working on now, and how we as a community with the club and people listening to this podcast help you and support you.
Well, first of all, you already supported me by having this interview and letting the people hear me. So salute to the club and you guys for having this platform and just saluting and recognizing the value and the importance of the DJ. I felt like with the advent of these laptops, it just allowed people to just throw DJ in front of their name without doing the study, the homework, the research, you know, and go through the things that made DJing as valuable as what it was to me. So salute to you guys for doing that. So currently, I'm not on a station or a podcast consistently, but I absolutely have something brewing. I wish I could have been able to give you the exclusive today, but I can't. But if anyone that's following me after this podcast, you may be seeing me on a new situation. That's gonna be a big deal pretty soon. That aside, I curate an independent artist Spotify playlist called Serato Flamers. I do it in conjunction with tastemakers and DJs across the country from Jersey, Philly, VA, Atlanta, Florida, Texas. So I get records from all over the country, and we collectively, you know, decide what we like, what we don't like. And you know, we're going to be releasing number 14 next week, maybe by this weekend. And, you know, so I got that cooking. I'm also A&R for a company based out of Atlanta called Making It Magazine, also geared towards independent artists. So, you know, provides a boatload of opportunity. Before the pandemic came, you know, was providing so many opportunities for artists to open up for major acts. You know, the company also does an annual South by Southwest stage, an annual A3C stage. These are music conferences for those of you who don't know. So you know, I got that popping and locally, you know, I'm doing comedy shows on Tuesday nights where, you know, I'm DJing for that with Hood Royalty. And, you know, right now we still early stages of coming out of the quarantine. So I'm not really doing too much, mostly private events right now. But, you know, when the doors open back up, you know, there'll be a lot more in store. So I just want to say for people that as you were listening, they're like, oh, wow, he's doing a lot of work with independent rap artists or musicians and so forth. And, you know, as an artist previously myself, you know, it's definitely a spot in the heart, you know, for the upcoming artists. And, you know, I try to use that working with them, doing these things as my opportunity to give back and provide that mentor, that indirect mentorship by speaking to them about their records and giving feedback, things of that nature.
Thank you, brother. Awesome. And we definitely want to support you in any way possible. So let's jump into the lightning round.
Woo!
Describe your DJ setup, hardware and software.
Describe my DJ setup. Okay. So when I go on the road or even if I'm just, you know, like doing a live at home, either I'm playing on Pioneer DDJ SZ or I'm playing on a Pioneer SRT 1000. I mean, obviously, you know, I'm an old head, so, you know, I came up on vinyl and I came up on Tech 12s and, you know, Penny on the Needle and all of that. But, you know, for me, you know, I like to stay current and up to the time, and I'm comfortable with those devices, so I work with those.
Besides yourself, who's your favorite DJ?
Kid Capri.
What has been your favorite party or event you've DJed at and why?
Ooh. Party or event. Favorite? That's a tough one. That's a tough one. That's a tough one. So some things I didn't mention early in this interview, I've DJed live events for the likes of Stally, Prodigy, Mr. Cheeks, Fred the Godson, Prodigy, rest in peace, Fred the Godson, rest in peace. You know, I mean, these are people that I've done multiple shows for, Royal Flush out of Queens, New York. So, I mean, these are not like the top of the top stars, but the shows we did were some great shows. Lots of people. You know, it's a little bit of a subtle thing, but you know, sometimes like the small thing could be like a major thing for you. So I kind of got one of those moments. I grew up listening to the cool DJ Red Alert on 98.7 Kiss. So I'm doing a party, I'm rocking out, and he's on the bill. Now, we had met once before, but it was kind of like a, hey, nice to meet you kind of thing. So now, boom, and now we in my backyard too. Now he's in Long Island, he's in my backyard, and I'm on the bill, me and my man. So I played, and then they got me on the mic, hosting, getting the crowd motivated, all of that kind of stuff, right? Party's rocking. I got the crowd into it. So he's getting ready to come on. I'm like, oh, it's Red Alert. Let me go to the booth. Yo, Red, what's up, Red? Oh, hey, what's up, boy? Yeah. Cool, you good? You need the mic? You want me off the mic? You want the mic? You want to use the mic? Like, what do you want? How do you want to do this? Because regardless of who I am, I know who he is. So properly in relationship to this legend and icon. And he says, nah, you, I love what you're doing. Yo, keep doing what you're doing. Stay on the mic. Go do everything you're doing. Keep doing it. So basically, I got the cosign from Red Alert that I was lit. That's how it was in my mind. You know what I'm saying? It's like, now he said, now you do your thing. So in my mind, it was like, yo, who did you Red Alert? Say, you are lit. You the hottest thing on the streets out here. Bang, that's all you needed. So, you know, when you grow up listening to this guy in the box the way I did, and hip-hop was like in that radio only for 3 hours a day, Friday and Saturday night, and there's no MTV, there's no Yo MTV Raps, there's no BET, there's no YouTube. Like, this guy was, like, the mixtapes I took to school, the mixtapes off the radio that people took all around the world that made hip-hop go global, that's that guy. So in my mind, yo, when he gave me that cosign, it was like, all right. Yo, anybody can say anything they want, not saying I'm lit, but Red Alert said I'm lit, so I don't even know what y'all talking about. I can't even hear y'all. So that's you know, I know it's a long-winded version, but that means a lot to me.
Who's the most interesting person you've met through DJing?
The most interesting person I have met through DJing. Oh man. this is, I don't know. I would have to really give that some thought, but this is the lightning round. Is that what this is?
Yeah.
All right. So since this is the lightning round, I'm going to keep it funky. And I'm going to give you what first came to mind is, as a promoter, and may this guy rest in peace. Legendary promoter out of Queens. His name was Gary B. He passed, I don't know, I want to say about maybe 4 or 5 years ago. Legendary promoter. This guy, not only did he promote regular parties, but he promoted them special parties, if you know what I'm talking about. I don't know how far I can go here, so I don't want to say too much. But he promoted them very, very special entertainment events. You know what I'm saying? So I go to meet him at the crib, get some flyers or something like that. Yo, Shuttle, yo, check out this video. Yo, so I'm thinking it's going to be like a video from one of the parties. Yo, this guy's got a video. Like, this guy's auditioning for a special movie. I couldn't believe it. I said, I'm out of here, man. So I thought that was really, really interesting. That's all I got. I can't think of nothing more interesting than that right now. You caught me off guard with that one. Gary B. Man, that guy was special. Love that man.
What's one thing that is missing from live streaming for DJs?
What's missing is the ability to play on any live streaming platform without being restricted. That's the number one thing that's missing.
And shout out to DJs that you know personally whose story should be shared on this podcast as well.
Oh, man. The first guy is absolutely DJ Johnny Juice. Okay, this guy was in the DMC competitions in the 80s. He worked with Public Enemy on their first few albums, where as a producer and DJ, and did a lot of cuts and scratches that, you know, if you know Public Enemy, you know, they had a DJ that was in figure and performed with the group on the road. But this gentleman, DJ Johnny Juice, is a friend, a mentor, and I mean, this guy can do it all. He's an incredible break dancer. Well, he was. I haven't seen him break dance too much recently, but he was an incredible break dancer. I mean, like, you talk about the embodiment of hip hop. Like, I mean, like, this guy, he might be the most interesting person actually that I met. But I knew him before I became a DJ, so maybe that's why it didn't come to mind. But definitely DJ Johnny Juice is one. And like I said, DJ Lady D Wells, female mentor of mine. She is, you know, I mean, she's the baddest female DJ I've ever seen. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, she still get busy on turntables if y'all want that. You know what I'm saying? And whatever, she DJ on anything, old school, new school, house, track, whatever. She do it all. She get busy. So, you know, and not because I work with her, but, you know, just the way life goes, a lot of times the females get overlooked. So, and DJ Queen of Spade, another female DJ that's definitely dope.
Awesome. Yeah, we look forward to hearing their stories one day. And any DJ that's interested in being on the show, they can sign up at djsignup.com. And brother, where can people find you online or even in person if you're still doing events?
Yeah, well, like I mentioned, comedy every Tuesday, Melly Mellow in Valley Stream with Whole Royalty Comedy. We got some of the best comedians from, you know, from Def Comedy Jam and, you know, New York Kings of Comedy and everything from Talent to Drew Frazier, Gerald Kelly. You know, some of the best. And, you know, social media, you can find me everything DJ Shuttle NYC, SoundCloud, Instagram, Clubhouse. You know, I'm on all of it. When I feel like it, I go live. You know what I mean? If I don't, I don't. You know what I mean? I'm not really, you know, stressing that, because it's like 7 zillion DJs now playing live. So I ain't really trying to be anybody. If I feel like it, I feel like it. You know what I mean? I went live Saturday night, like 1:30. People started hopping on. Like, yo, what's up? What you doing? I feel like playing, so I'm playing. You know what I mean? You know, we do what we do.
Awesome, man. This has been a great interview, dropping a lot of gems. Very helpful for anyone out there in the industry and looking to level up. Appreciate you. Everyone, please check out my brother, DJ Shuttle. He's really doing it in the game. Follow him and his journey. Thank you for being on the show, man.
Absolutely. Once again, salute to the club. You know what I'm saying? Because if you ain't in the club, then you ain't outside. You heard?